Now, my message this morning is on the subject faith. One word. What a word. Faith. And my text will be taken from Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews 11. And the writer of Hebrews says in verse 1, chapter 11, now faith. Faith. One word. Now faith. Is. This is what faith is. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. Now we've got to go back to chapter 10, verse 38. Chapter 10, verse 38. And here Paul says, now the just shall live by faith. Who are we talking about, the just? Well, Christ is the just one. He's a just God and a Savior. He died the just for the unjust that he might bring us to God. But the writer is speaking here of the justified, of those who are redeemed by Christ, those who are purchased and pardoned by his blood. The just shall live by faith. That's how they live, not by works. We conclude that a man is justified by faith, not by the works of the law, not by the works of the law, not by the law, not by ceremony, not by religion, not by merit. The just live by faith. This is the way they begin to live. This is the way they begin to live. You see, the gospel's preached, the true gospel. Turn to Ephesians chapter 1. Listen to this. Ephesians 1. Tells us how this life begins. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13, it tells us how the life of faith begins. The just shall live by faith. It says in Ephesians 1:13, in whom you believed, in whom you trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, you heard something. In whom also, after you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. You heard, you trusted, you believed, you were sealed. The gospel is preached. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. The Holy Spirit takes that gospel, that seed. We're born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed, the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Of his own will begat he us, regenerated us, gave us life. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, in whom you trusted after you heard the word of truth. You heard the gospel. Not just any gospel, the gospel. Paul said there's not more than one gospel, there's one gospel. And if any man preach any other gospel, let him be accursed. He said it doesn't matter if it's an angel from heaven with unusual credentials. If they don't preach the gospel of God's glory, the gospel of God's grace, the gospel concerning God's Son, let them be accursed. Because there's just one gospel. How shall they call on him in whom they've not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they've not heard? And how are they going to hear without a preacher? They hear the gospel, and the Holy Spirit takes the word of truth and begets life. And the sinner believes, the sinner receives Christ, who is the life. People call that gospel regeneration. Well, that's not a good term. We're regenerated by the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit uses the gospel. in whom you trusted after you heard. When you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit. He that seeth the Son and believeth on Him hath life. He that believeth not on the Son shall never see life. Like the Lord said to that Samaritan woman, if you just knew who was speaking to you, if you just knew the gift of God and who's speaking to you, you'd ask. And I'd give you living water. Most all of you are familiar with the paintings of Russell May, the artist from Prestonsburg, Kentucky. He's dead now, but he was an outstanding artist. And we have paintings in our home by Russell May. Many of you have paintings in your home. Colin Witt sells them in his gallery. Russell May, a good artist, but he wasn't always a good artist. He didn't always know how to paint. And when I met him, I asked him, how'd you get to be a painter? But he said, I wanted to be a painter. I knew I had some gifts. I knew I had some ability. And I wanted to paint. I wanted to paint more than I wanted to do anything else. I wanted to paint. I wanted to paint pictures that people could enjoy. So he said, I found out about an outstanding artist over in Europe who taught people how to paint. And he said, I saved up my money, $10,000. This was back a long time ago. $10,000 is what that man required to teach Russell May how to paint. He said, I took $10,000 and I went over there. I had an appointment to meet him. I had an appointment to study under him. I had an appointment to live there. And for that man to teach me to paint for weeks and weeks and weeks. And he said, I went to his place. He told me to be there Monday morning at 7 a.m. He said, I was there at 7 a.m., knocked on the door, came in, introduced myself. He said, are you here to talk or learn how to paint? And he said, we painted 14 hours a day, 7 days a week, for months. Isn't that the story? For months. He said, I lost, I forget how many pounds, 15, 20, 25 pounds. Man wouldn't let me eat. All we just paint. But he said, I came back here an artist. What I would give to find somebody that interested in knowing the gospel. What I would give. I have people, friends of mine, in other cities who talk about how they'd love to hear the gospel, how they'd love for their children to hear the gospel, how they'd love to sit on the gospel, how they wish they had a place to worship God, and they don't move from where they are. And they don't go to where the gospel's preached. And I'll tell you why they don't do it. It costs too much. They've got a good job, they've got a nice home, they've got two or three cars in the driveway, and they've got all these things, and they're not willing to give it up, even for God Almighty. So they'll never be an artist. They'll never be an artist. They'll never be an artist. They're going to stay right where they are. It costs too much. This is the way life begins, when a man gets a thirst and a hunger. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst for righteousness. And they hunger and thirst so badly, they'll give up anything what you preach Wednesday night to hear that gospel. And to be where that gospel is preached. That's where it starts. In whom you trusted after you heard. See the Son and believe Him. But see, that's the way life continues. Not only the way life begins by faith, the just shall live by faith. That's how you live, by faith. That's how you keep living. Look at that verse again. The just shall live by faith. It does not say he lives upon his faith. He lives upon Christ. Isn't that? You don't live on faith. My faith's so weak. Well, you're not trusting your faith anyway. You're trusting. He's not weak. His blood's not weak. I'm not living upon my faith. I'm living upon Christ. I'm a little weak vine who's clinging to a mighty strong pole and building on a cheap cornerstone. Peter says, to whom coming? I came to Jesus as I was, weary and weak and worn. I'm still coming to Him, weary and weak and worn. 68 years old nearly. Still coming to Him. I'll be coming tomorrow too. Next day too. If you meet me down the road when I'm 80, I'll still be coming. To whom coming? To whom coming? Looking unto Jesus, seeing that we're encircled about with so great a crowd of witnesses. Let us lay aside the weight that does so easily beset us and look unto Jesus. Yesterday's grace won't work. Got to have it today. Isn't that right, kid? Yesterday's manna rotted. Don't talk about what you used to do, how you used to believe, what you used to give, what you all back on. Well, I sure used to do this. Yeah, it's rotten just like that old manna that they tried to store up. They stored it up, you know. The Lord told them, said, now go out and gather the manna every morning. Don't you store it up. They did it anyway. And when they went to get it, it stunk. And that's just the way that old profession is. And all those old deeds we've done, they stink. Forgetting those things which are behind. I'm looking to Christ. Brand new. His mercies are new evermore. That's how you continue. And let me tell you this. The just shall live by faith. That's the way we're going to wind it up. Look at verse 13, chapter 11. These all died in faith. Talks about Abel and Noah and Abraham and Moses and Sarah and all these people. And said that's the way they died. Just like they began to live, looking to Jesus by faith, believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, my friends, whether our walk of faith in Christ be as brief as the thief on the cross. That's pretty brief, wasn't it? He didn't walk with Him very long, but He walked with Him. He didn't look to Him very long, but He looked to Him. It's very brief. Whether our walk of faith be as brief as the thief on the cross, or whether our walk of faith be as long and a journey as Abraham and filled with as many trials and blessings and filled with as many joys and sorrows and filled with as many failures and successes, we'll end this journey right where we started it. At the cross. At the cross, where I first saw the light. And the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith. I received sight. And that's the way I've lived this journey. And one day I'm going to lie down, weary, tired, and sick, and ready to leave here. And that's going to be the way I'm going to leave, looking to Christ, just like I started. We're not going to talk about what we did or what we gave or how we labored or how we loved or anything else. We're just going to say, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. And I'm saved, redeemed, exactly like that thief who never preached a sermon, never gave a dime, and never won a soul, and never walked a step, and never was baptized. But he looked to Christ. The just shall live. You understand what I'm trying to say? Faith. They live, they continue to live, and they die in faith. The least believer. There are no crowns. A lady wrote me this week. I said, happy with a letter, and she talked about somewhere in California how she watched the television program out there and loved it, wanted the books, and appreciated my preaching. She said, especially that sermon last week. She said, I know you'll have another star in your crown for that one. I said, I wish she hadn't said that. Her letter sounded so good, so she got down to that. There are no degrees of glory. Every believer saved by the grace of God, kept by the grace of God, and die in faith. Everybody at the wedding feast has on the same garment, praising the same Lord. That's right. All right, what's the next line now? It says in verse 38, the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. If any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. What pleases God? What pleases God? God talks about having pleasure in a man. Isn't that what it says? My soul shall have no pleasure in him if he draws back. In other words, if one who professes to believe Christ, who professes to know Christ, withdraws from the gospel, withdraws from the assembly of believers, compromises the gospel through fear or covetousness, turns away from the gospel, back to ceremonialism, back to works, back to law, back to religion. If he draws back from this gospel of grace, for whatever reason, my soul has no pleasure, no joy in him. I'll say to him at the judgment, I never knew you. Depart from me. I have no pleasure in you. Well, what gives God pleasure? Faith. That's right. Look down here at verse 6. Verse 6, look at it. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God translated him. Enoch walked with God. One day he just walked on into glory. God took him home. Look at the next line. For before God did that, translated him, he had this testimony. He pleased God. How did he please God, Dale? By faith. That's how he pleased God. Look at verse 6 up there in chapter 11. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. Therefore, with faith, it's possible to please him. Isn't that right? If without faith, it's impossible to please him, with faith, I please him. Ken, that's right. That's what that says. Enoch pleased God. He believed God. Abel. God had respect to Abel, pleased him. Why? By faith he brought an offering. By faith. That's how you please God. By faith. Let me show you an illustration of that in Matthew chapter 8. This is so clear to me, I want it to be to you. In Matthew chapter 8, here was a man that had a sick servant. A servant whom he loved dearly was very grievously ill. And the man lived way off somewhere in another town. And he came to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, my servant is grievously ill. Matthew chapter 8, verse 6. He said, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said, I'll come heal him. Now watch the next line. The centurion objected. He answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof. You just speak the word. My servant will be healed. You don't have to go down there. You control diseases. You control sickness. You control all things. You don't need to go down there. You just say the word. And that germ will flee him and that disease will flee him. He'll be made whole. For he said, and here's what he based it on. I'm a man under or having authority, and I have soldiers under me, and I say to this man, you go, and he goes. And I say to another, you come, and he comes. And I say to my servant, you do this, and he does it. I know what authority is, and I know you have authority over everything. I believe it. Now, you just speak the word. When Jesus heard this, he marveled. He rejoiced. His heart was filled with joy. Marveled. He said, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith. No, not in Israel. You don't please God? Believe him. Oh, but if any man draw back, if any man leaves the gospel, if any person for fear or covetousness or applause or popularity or possessions or whatever reason, leaves the gospel, pulls away. Takes himself away from identification with the people of God and the thing. No pleasure. No pleasure. But, thank God, verse 39, look at this. But we're not of them who draw back unto perdition, but we're of them that believe to the saving of the soul. I want to show you something right here. I don't know why in this world I've never seen this in 40-some-odd years. Two critical, vital words in this verse. We're not of them. Of them who draw back, who quit, who desert the gospel. We're not of them. We're not identified with them. We're not like them. We're not of their company. We're not of their persuasion. We're not of their principles. We're not of their conviction. We're not of them. We're as foreign to them as if we spoke another language or belonged to another race. But we are of them that believe. The key to understanding this thing. Some people leave the gospel, some never do. Some get weary and quit, some never do. Some say, oh, to heck with it. Others, it's my life. Some find something that's more important. Some, to them, nothing is more important. What makes the difference? Some draw back, some remain. Some quit, some persevere. What's the difference? Two words. Of them. Of them. Of them. The key to this scripture right here is two words. Of them. We're not of them that draw back and deny Christ. We are of them. We're regenerated. We have a new heart, a new nature, a love for Christ. We're one with Him. We're in His body. We're of believers. Turn to 1 John chapter 2 and listen to John over here. 1 John chapter 2. Look at this. 1 John chapter 2, verse 19. You see, true believers do not draw back and leave Christ because they're of Christ. Christ can't deny Himself. True believers never draw back and leave Christ because they're of His body. They're held with the cords of everlasting love, elective grace, precious blood. They're one with Christ as Christ is one with God. And they can more leave Christ than Christ can leave God. John said in 1 John 2:19, they went out from us. They quit. They left. They disassociated themselves from us. Why? They were not of us. That's the sole reason. You see that, Bob? That's the reason. And you wonder, you say, well, boy, so-and-so used to sit and live the gospel and listen to the gospel and rejoice in the gospel. He even used to stand up here and teach it. But he's gone. Why'd he leave? He wasn't of us. His body was here, but his heart wasn't. He talked about the body of Christ, but was never in the body. He was not of us. Listen, read on. If they had been of us, they no doubt would have continued with us. They couldn't have left us if it had been of us. This arm, you won't find it down the street tomorrow. It'll still be where this body is. This little finger. Don't look for it anywhere else but here in this body. If it's anywhere else, it's dead. It's dead. If you find this arm, cover it up. Don't bring it back to me. It's dead. But it can't leave. It's off me. You can't use it. John 17, our Lord said this. Don't turn to it. You know it. He said, Father, I pray for them which you've given me that they may be one as we are. And Paul over here in my text says this. He says, the just live by faith. But if any man draws back, my soul hath no pleasure. But we're not of them that draw back. We're not of them. That's foreign to us. We're of them that believe and keep on believing. It's not a matter of our holding him, it's a matter of him holding us. If you can be happy away from Christ, you're not of Christ. If you can be contented with the people of this world, you're of them. You're not of us. If you walk with them and talk with them and talk their language and live with them and be contented, you're not of us. You're of them. And sooner or later, you'll prove you're of them and never were of us. Isn't that the key to this thing? Of them. We're not of them. And John said they left us because they were not of us. Matthew 26, listen to Peter here. You know, I hear people say, well, I'll never leave the gospel. Be careful now. There's just one reason why you won't. That's his grace. It's not of us. It's of him. It's of him that we're in Christ Jesus. In Matthew 26, verse 33, listen to my friend, the Apostle Peter. Matthew 26, 33. Peter answered and said unto him, though all men should be offended because of thee, I'll never be offended. He was the one that was. Don't say that. Don't say that. That's not it. Turn to Luke 22. I'll show you what it is. It's Luke 22. Listen over here. This is what our Lord said to him in this confrontation. In this confrontation, Luke 22, verse 31, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I pray for you, that your faith fail not, and when you're converted, strengthen your brethren. And he's still talking. He said, Lord, I'm ready to go with thee, both to prison and to death. He said, Peter, I tell you this, the cock shall not crow this day before you three times deny you even know me. Well, he did a lot of things, but he never left Christ. He was of Christ. He said, Lord, you know all things. You know, but it's Christ that held him. We're of them that believe. All right, let's read. Go back now to our text, Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11, verse 1. Now faith, the gift of God, this faith by which the just shall live, this faith that brings us into a living relationship, a living union with our Lord that will never be dissolved, this faith is the substance of things hoped for. Now listen to me. See if I can help you with these verses here. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. What are the things hoped for? What do we hope for? Well, we hope for salvation. We hope for acceptance with God. We hope for eternal life, don't we? We hope for eternal glory. We hope for eternal existence in heaven. That's what I'm hope for. An inheritance undefiled, incorruptible, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for us. We hope for that. Well, the faith of Christ, of Christ, in Christ, from Christ, is the very ground and foundation and confidence of all these things for which we hope. We've not entered into these things. I'm not in heaven. I'm not like Christ, perfectly conformed to his image. I hope to be, but I'm not yet. But this faith makes that possession mine now. It is mine by faith. Faith gives us the possession right now of all those things. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. In other words, it gives me the possession. Faith is the ground, substance, confidence of what I hope for. It's mine already by faith. Let me show you an example of that. Let's see if I can illustrate it. Genesis 15. Genesis chapter 15. God took Abraham out and showed him the stars. Remember? In Abraham, in Genesis chapter 15, verse 3, and Abraham said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed. I don't have a son. One born in my own house is my heir. In other words, everything I've got is going to be left to my servants. Behold, the word of God, the word of the Lord came to him saying, this shall not be your heir, this servant will not be your heir. He that shall come forth out of your own bowels shall be your heir. Isaac shall be your heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now towards the heavens. Tell me the number of stars, if you're able to number them. And he said to Abraham, so shall thy seed be. That wasn't a reality. He didn't even have a son. And yet God's talking about he's going to be the father of nations, of numbers of the stars. He believed in the Lord, and it was his. Faith gave him the possession of those things when they hadn't even happened. Turn to Acts 27. Let me show you that again. Acts chapter 27. Verse, so you remember Paul was on this ship, and the ship was about to sink, about to go down, and everybody's about to jump overboard. And Paul stood out in front of all these sailors in Acts 27:22, and he said to them, Acts 27:22, now, brethren, now listen, I exhort you, be of good cheer. There's not going to be the loss of any man's life among you, but the loss of the ship. The ship's going, but not one person's going to die. This is the future he's talking about. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, and said, fear not, Paul. You must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God has given you all them that sail with you. They're yours. Not one of them's going to be lost. They're yours. Sirs, be of good cheer. It's mine. I believe God. Isn't that what he said? I believe God. It shall be exactly as he told me. That is the ground. That's the confidence. That's the substance of all that I hope for. It's mine. You see that? Faith is the substance of everything we hope for. Everything we hope for. Faith makes it mine right now. Right now. Because I believe God. Your God-given faith is your guarantee that all these things shall come to pass. Now listen to this. Faith is the evidence. It's not only the ground of your possession and the confidence of your possession and the assurance of your possession, but you've got evidence. It's the evidence of your possession. Faith is. I've never seen the things done in eternity past. The covenant, the lamb slain before the foundation of the world, the book of life. But they're real. I've never seen the things done in time. I didn't see the incarnation. I didn't see the crucifixion. I didn't see the resurrection. I didn't see the ascension. But they're real. I've not seen the future. I've never died. I've never talked to anybody who has. I've never seen anybody resurrected. I've never seen anybody changed into the likeness of Christ. I've never seen the glory of heaven. One man saw it and didn't tell me anything about it. He came back and said, not possible to tell you what I heard. Things not seen. But I have evidence. Nobody saw O.J. Simpson kill his wife. But the prosecution says they've got enough evidence to prove it. Evidence. That's what evidence is. Somebody believes he did because they're making a lot of fuss over it. Somebody believes he did. A lot of people believe he didn't. But some people believe he did, and they've got evidence. Proof, they say. All right, I've never seen these things. I've never seen them. Never seen them. But I have evidence that they're real. Faith gives me evidence. Faith is my evidence. Faith is my evidence. Faith is the living proof that all these things are true. I have His Word. I have His Spirit. I have His presence. I have His confidence. I have a new heart. I know they're so. Noah, what are you doing? I'm building an ark. You're building a ship. Yes. On dry land. Yes. Why are you building that ship on dry land? Because there's going to be a flood. And God will destroy the earth. Noah, have you ever seen a flood? No. Noah, have you ever seen it rain? No. Have you ever seen anything destroyed by water? No. Well, how in the world? Why in the world are you building an ark? I have evidence there'll be a flood. I have God's Word. I have God's promise. I have God who spoke to my heart and said there'll be a flood. It will come. It did. Abraham, don't take your son up on that mountain and put a knife in his heart. Don't do that, Abraham. God will raise him. Abraham, have you ever seen anybody raising the dead? Nope. Have you ever seen anybody come alive that's been dead, that's been killed? Nope. What makes you think God will raise him? I have His Word that my seed is in that son. And God's going to save a multitude of people by His seed. And if I kill him, God's got to raise him. That's my evidence. I believe God. I got evidence. Faith is the evidence. The evidence of things not seen. Moses, what you doing putting the blood on the door? That won't look good. Who's going to watch it all? Moses, don't smear blood on the door. The Lord said, put the blood on the door. He said He's going to pass through tonight and destroy the firstborn in every home. But when He sees the blood, He'll pass over. Moses, have you ever seen such destruction? Nope. Have you ever seen such deliverance? Nope. Then why do you believe it? God said it. And I have the witness in here. I got evidence. I know. What He's done in me and for me and in you and for you. You're our epistle. You're our evidence. What God did for you, no one could do. You see, faith sees. Noah, being warned of things not seen, moved with fear, built an ark. Faith sees things that natural men don't see. Faith hears. No, we don't hear voices. Don't listen to anybody that does. Something wrong with him. We hear him speak through his word. We hear his voice in his word. Faith sees what other men do not see. Faith hears what other men do not hear. Faith knows what other men do not know. And faith stands in the place of all these things not seen until they are seen. Until they become a reality. That's right. So you see all these fellows, look at verse 13. All these fellows died in faith, not having received the promises. They didn't live till the day of the Messiah. They had the promise of the Messiah. But they saw him afar off. That's right. Moses wrote of me, Abraham saw my day. They were persuaded, confident. I tell you what, I am so confident and fully persuaded that Almighty God sent Christ Jesus into this world to be my substitute, my Savior, my Redeemer, my Lord, my atonement, my High Priest, that I have committed unto Him. I'm so fully persuaded that He's able to keep that which that I committed to Him. Lock, stock, and barrel. My life, everything I own, have, my children, my relationship with every human being is built upon one thing. I believe Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Don't you? They were persuaded. This is what I'm worried about, and I was talking a while ago about people that don't give any evidence that they're fully persuaded. They're not burning bridges. The bridge is still there because they might go back. You know, I better save something for a rainy day. Well, who sends the rain? God help us. Aren't we a sad lot? What a sad lot. God help us, O ye of little faith. Wherein did you doubt? Lord, wake up. Don't you care if we drown? These people were persuaded, and they embraced this person, and they confessed, let the whole world know I'm a stranger and I'm a pilgrim, I'm passing through. And they that say such things declare plainly they're looking for a country, they're looking for a city, not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. If they had been mindful of that old country from which they came, they had an opportunity to go back. God will let you go back any time you want to. He turned to the disciples and said, will you go away? No, I'm of them. I'm of them. I'm happy with them and him. I can't go back. Nowhere to go. But now they desire a better country, a heavenly. Wherefore, God's not ashamed to be called their God. He prepared for them a city. Faith is the confidence, substance of things we hope for. And not only that, it's the evidence, the proof. See, we know whom we have believed. We know we've passed from death unto life. We know the Son of God has come and given us an understanding. We know that all things work together for good to them that love Him. We know if our earthly house of this tabernacle be dissolved, we have a building of God eternal in the heavens, not made with hand. We know that when He shall appear, we're going to see Him like He is, and we're going to be like Him. And we, he that hath this hope in Him, I have it, the hope. It's as real as that Bible is. It's real. That's the evidence. Evidence. It's evidence of the things we've never seen. Let's sing number 228. My faith hath found a resting place.